ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports, brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
Pedro, let me tell you congratulations on your long time in radio, you and your team, and for your ratings, man. I was reading about that. I'm very impressed with you, Pedro.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
Pedro Fernandez.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another, but I'm going to get the job done.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, we're rocking in hour number two. Of course, this is the Sunday edition, Sunday Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number two, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. If you listen to this on the podcast, of course, the Anchor.com podcast, right onto that as well. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, I am the reigning undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airwaves. Haven't been doing this, as I said, 36 plus years now. We will talk boxing, MMA in this hour, and of course, we will also try to bring in Dahlia Duran, the daughter of the man with the hands of stone. Of course, the man with the hands of stone currently hospitalized in Panama City. I mentioned that in hour number one. Of course, 69 years old, celebrated his 69th birthday, June the 21st in Panama City, of course, where he lives and where he came from. And of course, that's what Duran's all about, Panama. And evidently, somebody wanted to visit Panama's number one legend. They went and did it on the 21st on his birthday, and evidently, they brought the virus with them. Of course, he was one of the biggest proponents. I mean, he was shooting videos almost every day. Don't go out. Don't go out. Don't go out. And he didn't go out. Somebody came to him. Straight up. Hopefully, we'll talk with Dahlia Duran at 25 minutes past hour today of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, coming to you from the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Dahlia Duran's calling and calling and calling. We will get her on the line. You are tuned to the mighty Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Get your arms together and your hands together and give me some of that old soul clapping. You didn't have to love me like
the old godfather himself, Sam Moore, with the Tower of Power. I think it was 1998, something like that. 1998, Fillmore Auditorium, San Francisco. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Let's talk about boxing history. Wow, born on this day in 1943, Israel Laguna, of course, the world champion from Panama, the man that that Roberto Duran would have his title later. He was 65-9 with 37 KOs, was stopped one time. He lost the title of Ken Buchanan, and ironically, today is Ken Buchanan's birthday as well. And wow, I'm serious, like Ken Buchanan and Ismael Laguna. Of course, Buchanan went 61-8, 27 KOs. That one KO loss to Duran. And, of course, he's been whining and whining about that. And I told him one time at the International Boxing Hall of Fame, I just got a little out of place. I said to him, you know, you got to stop bitching about that. Because he was kicking your ass like before he hit you, below. Duran didn't hit him low. At the end of the fight, the last blow was like, boom, a low blow. Well, there was no doubt about it. But he had, beat him like a savage beating for 11 or 12 rounds before that fight ended. Anyway, bottom line is Buchanan did not want a rematch. But happy birthday to Ken Buchanan, born in this day in 1943. More power to him. And as far as Mr. Ismael Laguna is concerned, a class act from Panama. He and, I guess he and Ken Buchanan fought like in 1970, September 26, 1970. That was at the Garden, and a unanimous decision winner 15 for Ken Buchanan. Of course, Buchanan would lose that title in June of 1972 to Roberto Duran. Tony Galento, God, this long ago, I don't remember this one. June 28, 1939. Cuddy, you might remember it. Tony, two-ton Tony Galento, the big old fat dude, knocked down Joe Louis. He was like 76 and 23. He had a horrible record. A horrible record. Like the bum of the month. Yeah, and like what did Larry say earlier? He dropped, like somebody dropped $100 to win $5, and they turned gray when Tony Galento knocked Joe Louis down. But Joe Louis came down, no doubt about that. So that was took place June 28, 1939 at TKO and Forum. I'm laughing. And of course, the fight before that, Joe Louis had went in a scheduled 20-round fight against Bob Pastor, and he knocked him out in the 11th round. So 11 out of 20, man. Joe Louis fighting 20-round fights back in the day. Holy cow, that's no doubt about that. And, of course, the bite fight taking place, 1996. Holyfield was 33-3, 24 KOs coming in. You know, people say to me, you know, oh, man, the Holyfield, he butted Mike Tyson. Yeah, he did. There's no doubt. I mean, I will admit that. 45-2, Mike Tyson, 39 KOs. Both guys weighed in even 218 pounds. Everybody was waiting for the Mike Tyson knockout. Except me. No, everybody was waiting for the Mike Tyson. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Tyson's going to knock him out. Tyson's going to catch him. Tyson's going to knock him out. Well, right in the middle of that first round, Tyson sort of got rattled with a right hand, and things were never really the same. Of course, the first bite would take place, and Mills Lane would not disqualify Mike Tyson at that point in time, and then he would disqualify him the second time. But that was one hell of, I mean, that was a riotous night, no doubt about it. Not as riotous as the September 7th. Card, of course, it was a big riot on that card in that same year, 1990. It was crazy. I mean, it was a Mike Tyson, Bruce Seldon card. I think Felix Trinidad was in the main event against some schmear, and you know, that was the night Tupac Shakur and those guys popped off and ended up getting killed, which I think was a setup. That was a little weird. How do you shoot around a guy like Suge Knight? Suge Knight's like a 400-pound black man. He looks like, I mean, if ever there was like a human phone booth, it's Suge Knight. How do you shoot around Suge Knight and hit the dude on the other side of Suge Knight? I've never understood that, and I know ballistics a little bit. Straight up, I never understood how Tupac ended up dying there, no doubt about that. But Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson, talk about doing it another time. I mean, you guys want to do it, they're like 50, 56, and 54 years old, respectively, I believe, and I guess more power to them, but I don't know if I want to pay for that. I mean, it might be a nice novelty to watch these two old guys go out there and maybe one of them get a heart attack and get laid out or something like that. But I don't really want to see two old guys go back and forth. I want to see young guys. I want to see Teofimo Lopez, the current lightweight champion, the IBF, of course, and the recognized world lightweight champion, Vasyl Lomachenko. I want to see these guys fight. I want to see Tank. I want to see Tank do his thing. I mean, I'm just Gervonta Davis. I mean, all these guys are 135 pounds, and you got the internet champion from San Francisco. I'm talking about Derek Haney. So, who calls him that? Ryan Garcia, I believe. Anyway, and then you got Ryan Garcia, who doesn't want to fight for 200 grand. So, at 135 pounds, boxing is light. I mean, that is the division to watch, no doubt about that. And on this day, in 1991, you know, people say to me, you know, you get robbed in a fight, you get a rematch, you know, and it ain't the same. And I'll tell you why, okay? Because when you play blackjack, when you sit down at a blackjack table in Las Vegas and you get a king and an ace, Cuddy's looking at me, we got a winning card. This is blackjack, baby. We're winning, okay? A king and an ace, we beat anything on the table, right? And then some clown with a 17 comes up and he beat you. And they give him the money. And you say to yourself, no, something's wrong here. I've got the blackjack. I've got the 21. The guy, the 17, beat me. How does that? That's boxing. That's the judges. The judges decided they were going to go in another direction, okay, and go the other way. Okay, on this day, on the co-feature of Mike Tyson and Razor Ruddock, the rematch, of course, Tyson won that fight in 12 rounds after the controversial first fight. It was 7 months earlier. I think it was 7 months earlier. Anyway, Zuma Nelson and Jeff Fenech took battle for the WBC 130-pound championship. Fennec was moving up from 126 pounds, formerly 122 pounds. Of course, the Australian phenom, who I thought was on Flintstone Vitamins, and without a doubt. Anyway, but Jeff fought Azuma Nelson, and he beat Azuma pretty good over 12 rounds. I mean, he just did. I'm saying to myself, wow, you know, or maybe it was even 15 back then. Like, wow, but he's won. I mean, there was no doubt about it. Jeff Fennec had won, right? And then they called the fight a draw. I was blown. I was absolutely blown. Jerry Roth had it 115, 113 for the other guy. Jerry Roth was always one of those guys had it the wrong way. And of course, one guy, Miguel Cotote, had it 116, 112 for Fennec, and that was a little bit wide, okay. And then one judge had it, Dave Moretti had it 114, 114. So that was a draw. But I'm telling you, man, there was no doubt about it that Fennec won that fight. So I'm with Jeff Fennec after the fight. And he's emotional. We're doing some radio. I remember we're doing live radio in the press room there. And he's emotional. I can see the tears rolling out of his eyes. He's like blown away, man. He can't believe that this fight's a draw, okay? So he goes back to Australia. Remember Don King promising the rematch, and you're going to get the rematch. It'll be the next fight. And I guess they would fight 6 or 7 months later or something like that. So the rematch would take place in Australia. So Azuma Nelson went down to Australia, and he beat Jeff Fennec so bad, Jeff Fennec was never, ever the same. And what happened was Jeff Fennec's drive, his will, his championship heart was taken away by that 17 draw there in Las Vegas. What I'm trying to say is it was a draw. He had 21. The guy was 17, beat him. He couldn't handle it emotionally, psychologically. And guess what? He was never able to rise to that occasion again. So when I hear this bull spit about rematches and things like that, oh, we'll just give him a rematch. No. Sometimes you can never climb back to the emotional level, to that physical level, to that performance, that peak performance that you put forth that night. You just can't do it. You just cannot come back. There's just no doubt about it. And that was the case here. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Fennec, of course, training fighters down there in Australia. Pretty good guy. He was 25-0 at the time. Azuma, 33-2. This day, 1991. Tyson and Ruddick, too, of course, a winner in 12 rounds. Mike Tyson, after the controversial stoppage the first time by Richard Steele, and of course, when he had poor mechanics and stopped the fight when Mike Tyson, a knockout TKO winner over Razor Ruddick. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I'm hoping to have Double D, Dahlia Duran, Roberto Duran's daughter, up next here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
One can have a dream, babe.
Two can make a dream so.
One can talk about being in love.
Two can say how it feels.
Last week, June 20th, we celebrated 40 years, of course, the meltdown in Montreal. Sugar Ray Leonard losing his first fight to Roberto Duran in the unanimous knockout over 15 rounds. And, of course, the following day, June 21st, was Roberto's, I believe, 69th birthday party. So we were happy and elated, this and that. And he was out there on the internet, and straight up, a few days later, we hear he's in the hospital and not feeling well with the COVID-19 virus. So, real quick, we're bringing his daughter, Dahlia Duran, and I thank you for some time this afternoon, young lady. First of all, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you so much for asking.
Okay,
pleasure to be here with you guys.
So talk to me. How is Manos Di Pietra?
Okay, well, Manos Di Pietra is doing fine. Like you stated before, he was very mindful about everything that was going on with COVID. And he was very, very strict as far as, like, he didn't want no visitors and so on. So, but on his birthday, June 16th, fans, they start stopping by to say and wish him happy birthday. So he came out of the house. So it was like a lot of traffic going on in and out of the house. Then a week later, he starts feeling like a cold symptoms, and then my brother took him to the hospital. So he was getting checked out and so on and so on. So once they did the COVID, then he tested positive. But he has like very, very mild symptoms. It's like nothing. He's like stage one COVID. He's on recovery right now with a group of doctors, so they're taking care of him. So he's doing well at this point. He would be released very soon.
Well, you know, there are many people that think, including myself, that he was the greatest practitioner of professional boxing to ever put on a pair of boxing gloves. competing from 122 to 160 pounds, being world class, from 126 to 160 pounds, and a champion from 135 to 160. Nobody comes close, my dear, to your father. So we congratulate you on that, and we wish him the very best in his speedy recovery, okay? Thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, thank you so much. Nice speaking to you guys. You're very welcome.
I don't remember. Thank you so much. I don't ever remember meeting her. I don't remember meeting Dahlia Duran, but straight up, she sounds like a sweet little girl. Roberto Duran's daughter. Wonder what it's like to be Roberto Duran's daughter. I mean, does anybody want to date you? I mean, think about that one. Does anybody want to date you? I mean, come on. I'd be frightened. I would. Oh, yeah. Who's your daddy? Roberto Duran. Oh. No. The boxing guy? Yeah. No, I don't want to date you. Because it's a lose-lose situation. I mean, because you don't get along with Duran's daughter, you got to deal with Duran. Straight up, just like you deal with any daddy. That's just the way it goes. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live, where I want to thank Dahlia for that time. Of course, the update on Roberto Duran. Thank goodness, you know, he's coming around. Is he stage one? She said that's all he's got, and he's in recovery right now. And, you know, you really got to watch that, because here she said he was really, like, anal, for lack of a better word, as far as this COVID-19 is concerned, and what happened, he ended up getting it. So, you know, he's 69. It's not a good age to be getting. The average age of people that die from this disease is 62 years old, and that's not good for me, because that might be my exact age right now, 62. In fact, it is. So straight up, what I'm trying to tell you is be as careful as you can. Yesterday, I coughed a few times as I was jogging. And I said to myself, oh, I got it. And I had these major anxiety attacks. Cuddy's laughing at me, shaking his head back and forth. But I'm having these major anxiety attacks as I'm running. I'm having anxiety attacks running through the streets of San Francisco doing my jog yesterday. Okay, having this anxiety attack over the... It's just, you don't know. See, this is sort of like the unknown. And for a person that's been in control most of their lives, I'm not in control. This virus has none of us in control. And I feel violated by this goddamn virus. I'm sure everybody else does too as well. Anyway, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing. And I want to mention, on this date in 1948, wow, Walker Smith Jr., Sugar Ray Robinson, and beat a guy by the name of Bernard Docuson. Of course, that was at 147 pounds. He was the world welterweight champion at the time. Of course, he gained real prominence as the world middleweight champion, but at 147 pounds, I think he was like 40, undefeated, 49-0, so crazy, and some incredible amount of record before he lost. I think the first fight he lost, of course, was to Jake LaMotta at middleweight. But Ray Robinson, you know, me and Ray, I remember the 1984 Duran getting knocked out by Hearns, and me like being in tears almost, going back to the room there at the Aladdin Hotel, and then Ray Robinson calling me over. He was in his pink shower cap. You know, you ain't got to be all bummed out and this kind of stuff. You know, Duran's a greater fighter than Hearns, and he tried to explain to me, et cetera, et cetera. He went on and on and on. Anyway, I'll never forget there. Here he is, Sugar Ray Robinson, sitting there on his couch wearing a pink bathrobe, got some cool manly slippers on, but he got a pink bathrobe and a pink shower cap because, you know, he had that processed hair. But that was 1984. I want to say that was June 16th, 1984, because I think the fight was on the 15th. I remember what he told me about pound-for-pound fighters and how old fighters he thought were somewhat better than the new fighters because they dedicated themselves. And, you know, 15-year-old was still 15-year-old fights back in 1984. I mean, that's the difference between the man and the boys. Anybody can go 12 rounds. I know a lot of guys that I used to fight with that went 12 rounds, okay? They never went 15, but they went 12 rounds. So if guys that I could fight with went 12 rounds, 15 rounds, major, major difference. Once again, we thank Dahlia Duran for that appearance here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. So Hans of Stone's feeling better. Of course, we've lost other people in the boxing business, and I don't want to go into the long list and this and that, but I got to tell you, back to being careful, back to being wearing your mask. You know, I think the doctors are trying to say that if 95% of us wear a mask, this thing will go away. So we've got a long ways to go as far as masks concerned, because as far as 95% is concerned, because that's not happening here yet in San Francisco. And, you know, if it's like this, if you don't care about yourself, that's cool. But what about society as a whole? In other words, you know, you got to have respect for society. If you don't respect yourself and you're worried about not worried about getting sick, I understand. But don't gamble and risk somebody else's health because you want to be stubborn. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Open phone lines all around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. The world of boxing, of course, been on hold. There was some boxing in Mexico last night. Of course, Miguel Bertrand. Man, this guy can really fight. There's absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, he's like the real deal at 130 pounds. But unfortunately, I guess he doesn't want to stay there very long. He wants to fight Oscar Rios. Of course, he was a former WBO champion at 126. Now he's fighting at 130. I think he was a 2012 Olympic gold medalist. So 2006, somewhere around 2016 Olympic gold medalist. Anyway, bottom line is that's going to be one hell of a fight, no doubt about that. But, of course, he fights on ESPN, of course, for last night, coming to us from Mexico. Felix featured Eleazar Tronco Valenzuela, who's now 22-14 in a non-title bout against, take that back, Omar Pollo Aguilar was the winner, 17-16 wax. All these fights took place, and they weren't really fights that they were really fights. There are a lot of, like, work fights. I don't want to see work fights. I don't want to see guys fight Pedro Fernandez. I don't want to see guys on television fight Scott Cuddy. I want to see guys fight. And right now they're fighting stiffs. As I said last week, the best fighter in Mexico, pound for pound, I think, and maybe in the world. I mean, he's an outstanding fighter, Emmanuel Navarrete. He just is, okay? And he's fighting a guy that's 13-13. I mean, what does that say? What does that say about his own? What does that say about his confidence in himself? I mean, if you want to fight a guy that's 13-13 on TV in front of a large Mexican audience, the entire country of Mexico is watching me in the first boxing match back on television. And you're fighting a guy that's 13-13, give me a break. Just give me a break, okay? Anyway, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing. Let's rate the pound-for-pound fighters in the world right now. Who is the pound-for-pound greatest fighter? Well, you know, as far as heavyweight is concerned, I think it's Tyson Fury. I mean, without a doubt. Of course, 30-0, that one draw against Deontay Wilder, what, 18 months ago or something like that down there in L.A., the City of Angels, the Staples Center, the rip-off, call it what you want. I mean, he got knocked down twice to Tyson Fury. And he lost the first round. He got knocked down in the ninth, but I don't think he really lost the second round because he got knocked down in the 12th round. He got up and started kicking Deontay Wilder's butt. Deontay was celebrating. Hey, guess what? He celebrated a little bit too soon. So anyway, pound for pound, as far as the heavyweight division is concerned, I think that Tyson Fury stands head and shoulders against above Deontay Wilder, and of course Anthony Joshua, the 2012 Olympic gold medalist, who I was so high on. Now 23-1, of course, lost to Andy Ruiz. I can't believe that he lost to Andy. I mean, of all the people, come on, man, of all the people you lost to, and then he goes back and he beats Andy in a rematch, right? And then he's like a 300-pound fat guy, and that's not a knock on fat guys, it's a knock on Andy Ruiz, okay? You just don't show up looking like that for a heavyweight championship fight. I guess you do. Buster Douglas did it once. He got melted down. I told you that the night before the weigh-in at the Mirage Hotel. Here's Buster Douglas at the Mirage Hotel in Las Vegas the night before he's going to weigh in against Evander Holyfield. I think they weighed in a couple days before the heavyweight title fight. Anyway, the night before the weigh-in, he's eating California pizza in the sauna at the Mirage Hotel. So he's losing weight and eating the pizza at the same time. Then he came in and he saw that I was hip to it, and I saw the pizza boxes, this and that, and they abandoned these guys. I mean, they were running like illegal aliens from immigration. I kid you not, they were gone. Anyway, second best fighter, pound for pound in the world. Maybe because he's not a heavyweight, but he's a heavyweight at the box office. But will there ever be a box office again? Of course, talking about Mr. Pay-Per-View, signed that multi-million dollar, $350 million deal, with DAZN, Saul Canelo Alvarez, of course. 53-1, that one loss to Floyd Mayweather, two draws, one being to Gennady Golovkin. He avenged that. Of course, they're talking about a third fight with Golovkin, but the next fight is supposed to be with Billy Joe Saunders. Am I excited about that? Not really. As far as the rest of the list of pound-for-pound fighters are concerned, I'm looking at this list. You got to put Terrence Crawford up there. Of course, a kid from Omaha, Nebraska. What's he now, 30-0, something like that, 30-0, of course. Former 135-pound champion, 140-pound champion, now fighting at 147. Of course, him and Errol Spence, that should be the fight. But Errol Spence got tossed out of a car in December of last year at 145 miles an hour. And, of course, they expect him to be the guy that he was before he got thrown out of the car at 140 miles, 5 miles an hour. Let me tell you, he ain't going to be the same guy. In fact, if I was a welterweight, and I said this time and time again, if Cuddy was – I get Cuddy in shape to fight Earl Spence. I get Cuddy in shape to fight Earl Spence. I would. I tell you what, because the gamble's there. The gamble's there. You crack him once, and all of a sudden, boom, man, it's all over. You know, deja vu, the accident's coming back to him, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, all that kind of good stuff. He's got to be suffering from all that. And I looked in his eyes. You can see the neurological damage. I mean, look at that. What is his right eye. Look at his right. Look at that right eye. In fact, take a couple pictures on the internet. Maybe his booking picture was booked for that DUI. Of course, he was under the influence when he tossed the car at 145 miles per hour. He's lucky to still be alive, but he ain't boxing no more at world-class level. No way. No way. Hell, how. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. Little Tower of Power. James Brown to the break.
Ask you, do you love him? Smile and kiss his teeth. Walk away and twist your hips. Make sure you keep it.
Now let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now, more Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Who's with me? I know you're in. How about you? You're in.
Check this. The world of Bunko and Anarchy, I'm talking about the World Boxing Association, of course, they say the Olympics are very important to them, okay? Getting the WBA involved in the Olympics is sort of like inviting bedbugs to a brothel, okay? I mean, you just don't want to do that. It's just like, absurd. You don't want these people involved with Olympic boxing. Of course, now we've got professional fighters being able to fight amateur. I never thought that was cool. Even though there was a lot of guys that I could beat and that were pros that were, you know, when I was an amateur, there's no doubt about that, over three or four rounds. But it just doesn't. I mean, I always thought the Olympics were all about amateur fighters, but straight up, that's not the way it is anyway. Back to the pound for pound list. Vasyl Lomachenko, of course, the world lightweight champion, 135 pounds, 14-1, lost that one fight to Orlando Salido, a southpaw fight out of Oxnard, of course, formerly the former USSR. Pound for pound, he's got to be up there. I mean, he's got to be one of the guys, no doubt about that. As far as the rest of the list is concerned, is there really a top 10 in all of boxing? Maybe the aforementioned Mikhail Berchtold, the 130-pound champ. You got to give him some props with that record, okay? Or maybe Oleg Usyk, of course, stepping up now to the heavyweight division, former WBO cruiserweight champion. But there's a big difference between 200 pounds and 225 or 230 pounds, especially when you're fighting guys like they're coming in 245, 250 pounds. Back to a text here coming in from Pittsburgh. Don't be so hard on Big Baby Miller. What do you mean, don't be so hard on Baby Big? I thought it was sort of soft on him. The guy's like tested positive 18 times in a row. And I'm not exaggerating there. I'm like 18 times in a row, 18 different drug tests he's taken for different things, and he's tested positive. And as far as another, here's another text coming here. Oh, Southern California coming in. Okay. No, I don't consider Mikey Garcia pound-for-pound one of the better fighters or one of the top. Well, maybe he is in this deluded world of boxing. He's 40-1. He lost that one fight to Earl Spence. Of course, that was before Spence got tossed out of the car, before he became tossed salad, per se. anyway, 40-1, lost that one fight to Spence, but, you know, that was at welterweight. He says he's 32 years old now. He says he doesn't want to drop back down to 135 pounds. So he's fighting at 147 against guys that, you know, well, maybe he can beat certain guys at 147, but he's not going to be the guy at 147. So I don't know if Mikey's in all this. It's all about money. That's the way Larry Merchant sort of indicates that it's all about money. After the Spence fight, of course, he fought Jesse Vargas, and he beat Jesse Vargas in the 12-round decision, and that was pretty cool. You got to give Mikey credit for that. He beat a world-class welterweight, but the guy that can't punch. And when you can't punch, you know, that's not the greatest barometer in the world as far as I'm concerned. As far as a pound-for-pound guy, and you don't hear him much, his name is Nanua Inouye. ooh, Lord, comes to us from Japan, and he is like a monster. He's 19-0 with 16 whacks. Of course, the former WBO champion. Now I think he's the WBA Super World Bantamweight champion. But the bottom line is he can really crack. I mean, he can crack, and he can draw. You know, Japan, Israel, Japan, Asia, coming together. They've always had their own little fight clubs over there, and they've always had things. Of course, Manny Pacquiao, he's got to be considered, even though he's 41 years old, that's how diluted the boxing game is right now. He's got to be considered one of the pound-for-pound better fighters right now in all of boxing. What is he? 62-7, a couple of draws. Man, lost that fight, that big money fight to Floyd Mayweather. Talking about him fighting, get this, Conor McGregor. McGregor wants to come back and fight Pacquiao. Of course, made all that money fighting Floyd Mayweather in that farce of a fight. I mean, come on, man. If a guy fights with his feet and you put him in a hand fight, who's going to win? The guy that fights with the hands. If you put a guy that fights with the hands in a feet fight, who's going to win? The guy with the feet. Pretty common sense, no doubt about that. As far as Triple G is concerned, of course, at 38 years old, he's only got a great record, 41-1. Some people thought he might have been exposed a little bit. There's no exposure here. He's just getting old. I mean, he's getting old, 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 old. He's 38 years old, 38 going on 90. He had, like, all those amateur fights, 300 or 400 amateur fights. You have all that fights in your resume, guess what? It takes its toll. But back to the pound-for-pound great. I'm looking on the list. I'm not seeing any pound-for-pound greats here. I'm just not seeing it. I mean, maybe I'm missing something. I'm just not seeing it. But I will say this. Back to Mr. Navarrete, of course, at 122 pounds. What's Bob Arum say? He's the greatest fighter, the greatest Mexican fighter of all time. All this kind of stuff. Yeah. But fighting guys that are like, you know, 13-13? Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. That was a bit of a ripoff. That just was. That was a bit. I was so disappointed in that. Of course, this fighter, I've been heralding him for a long, long time as a fantastic fighter. And as far as Mexico is concerned, I mean, he's a good young prospect. I mean, he could be a great fighter in the mold of maybe a Julio Cesar Chavez. I mean, I'm talking about Emmanuel Navarrete Martinez. His last name is Martinez. 31-1, 27 KOs, of course, beating that schmo last week. And I shouldn't call Uriel Lopez a schmo, but he came in at 13-12, so you knew it was pretty much expected to go one way, and it did go one way. No doubt about that. They're trying to tell me now it's going to be recorded as a winner TKO6, but get this, no commission present. According to BoxRec.com here, okay, the time was 2:22 of round number 6. Referee was Cesar Casanon, Patricia Flores, Abraham Abada, and Rafael Saldana were the judges. And it says, no commission present. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, Mexico City's professional sport is still halted by the local government. Navarrete was announced the winner after he TKO'd. It was like bootleg boxing? Bootleg boxing? Man, anything for the TV, huh? I guess anything for the TV. Here are the new rules as far as boxing is concerned. Of course, I'm talking about boxing in Nevada. With numerous fights, being scratched because trainers and managers and cut men, all these people being different people in the team being affected by COVID-19. The safety protocols in the city of lost wages, per se, is changing. So now, if one guy tests positive in the camp, they're not going to disqualify the fighter. I don't know why that doesn't work. Anyway, Top Rank is going to say that, all right, I'll read it to you exactly. This is the way this press release came out. Now, upon a positive test for someone in a boxer's camp, that person is immediately quarantined. That person, not the camp. Top Rank will then consult with infectious disease experts like Dr. Vinny Bubat, and a risk level will be assessed for the non-infected team members. If deemed tolerable and acceptable, the fighter and the remaining team are immediately isolated in the room and both must test positive negatively until the fight. Does it work? I don't know. Does it work? Tell me. 95% of everybody's got to wear the mask, I think. That's what scientists are saying. 90 to 95% of everybody needs to wear the mask for a few months in order for this thing to go away. And it's not happening here in California, of course. And California sort of leads the countries for the most part as far as in being hip and progressive as far as medical and things like that are concerned. You know, and evidently a lot of Californians are not taking it too seriously. I was driving down the street and went to see my friend's mother yesterday. And I drove by the house, and there was a party across the street. There was 40 or 50 people in front of the house, and no masks on. They're all partying. They're drinking beer. They're in suits and ties, the whole 9 yards. I mean, they were partying in the afternoon, and it wasn't so – if they, it was social distancing, it was 6 inches and not 6 feet. So I don't know where this is going to go, but I'm afraid that if we don't do – if we don't all get together and wear the mask, that things are not going to be good for a long, long time. Back to the boxing world, of course. The text coming in here, pound for pound – who likes that? Lomachenko, Alvarez, Canelo, pound for pound, sort of up in the air right now. I was thinking Navarrete until he fought that Schmier last week, okay? I mean, I was willing to put him up there in the top three or top four. I mean, the guy had beaten Isaac Dogbo. He dogged Dogbo not once but twice. And everybody said to me, Dogbo is going to win. I said, no, this is the fight. Nobody wanted to take a little wager on that one because nobody knew who Navarrete was, and nobody's a big Dogbo fan. But Dogbo was the guy, the favorite going into that first fight, and Navarrete beat him down, no doubt about that. Some results over the weekend. WBO number two ranked Bantamweight. We're going to talk about Jason Maloney, now 21-1, 18 wax. Was the winner when Leonardo Baez, now 18-3, couldn't continue after 7 rounds. That was Tuesday night inside the bubble at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Of course, you got to give them some props. These guys are fighting. The bubble is like this little, you know, when nobody's there, which is sort of cool. If you want to put on boxing, you can do it in a manner in which people are not going to get sick. I'm down with that. But if you want to put fighters in an arena, somebody I know, Christy Martin, wants to put fighters in an arena. Remember her? Former women's boxing icon, of course, no doubt about that. One of the best women's fighters of all time. But she fought a lot of schmoes. In fact, I was looking at that September 7th card, of course, September 7th, 1990, was it 1991? Of course, the Bruce Seldon fight with, what date was that? When we had, 96, I believe, or 97. Anyway, bottom line is Tupac Shakur was killed that night. That was like a hell of a night. It was a wild night. The MGM Grand was up in arms, no doubt about it, of course, and he got shot. And I asked this question, and I've got the couple answers here coming in, so I'm going to ask the question one more time so you know where I'm coming from in this. How could they shoot around Suge Knight, who weighs 400 pounds and is that big, and hit the guy on the other side of the car? And somebody said to me, you're the Kennedy expert. This was the magic bullet. Okay, this was the magic bullet the second time around. Okay, I'll go down with that. That's cool. Open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. The UFC Rock and Roll on July 12th. And of course, the next card, UFC 251. On pay-per-view, ESPN pay-per-view, coming to you from Yas Island, somewhere in Dubai. Of course, Dana White scammed us all, said he was going to have this fight island. He was going to have an octagon on a fight island, put this cage on the beach and show these fights on the beach and this kind of good stuff. Turned out to be he was working us because he ended up in Dubai. I mean, he's going to do this in a hotel, like a casino complex. So he's not going to have a fight island per se, but he's got 1, 2, 3, 4 fights in a cup. Four fight cards in a row scheduled at July 12th, July 16th, July 19th, and July 25th. Of course, the card on the 12th looks like a good one. Burns and Usman. Usman almost unbeaten. The guy's like, yikes. He's frightening, okay? And Mr. Burns, Gilbert Burns, is no hobo either. He's on a hell of a streak, having moved up from lightweight. As far as the next UFC card is concerned, July 16th, we'll pass on that one. We'll pass on July 19th as well. Of course, July 20th, July 25th, of course, UFC Fight Night. I don't know, man. Darren Till can go. There's no doubt about it. This is going to be a good main event. Darren Till can go, but, you know, Robert Whittaker, something happened there. Robert Whittaker at one point in time was champion. Then he had, like, its injury in the dressing room, or he pulled a muscle, or he had a hernia or something like that, and he seemed to never get it back together again. I don't know if he was one of those guys that sort of, like, got the title and said, you know what? I'm just going to retire with it. Just sort of, like, go away from it. Anyway, bottom line is Whittaker and Till in the main event, the co-feature, and I still can't believe he's still fighting. Mauricio Shogun Rua. I saw him in a fight one time where I had to turn my face away from the octagon. He was getting beat so bad. It was like somebody was hitting him with a ball-peen hammer in the head. He's taking on one of the Nog brothers, Antonio Ruggiero Nogueira. Of course, the Nogueira. This is a light heavyweight. Welterweights on the card, Alex Oliveira versus Peter Cerreta. Outside of that, no big other names on the card. The rest of the UFC year, not looking all that appetizing. I told you. We need to look. I want to see heavyweights fight. And I don't mean, I'm not talking about Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier. I'm talking about Francis Ngannou. He's the guy. I mean, is he going to be one of those guys, too, that sort of tells the UFC, guess what? You know, I generate so much money in pay-per-view. I generate so much viewership that, I mean, the UFC made an energy drink about him before he fought Stipe Miocic and lost. Okay? They made an energy drink for him. They thought he was going to be like the Rage, and I think he is the Rage if they get him in a championship fight again. I don't think he'll ever, ever, ever lose a fight again. I don't think so, unless he gets real old. I mean, he's that intimidating of a puncher. I've never seen a guy hit that hard in my entire life, and we're talking boxing, MMA. He has a boxing background. He was a professional boxer in France before he turned to the world in mixed martial arts, so he's picked up that ground game. He's the best stand-up fighter in all of MMA as far as punching power is concerned, and I think he's going to be heavyweight champion if one of these clowns would fight him. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You're cute.
And you're higher than a kite.
This is Tower of Power on the Soul Side of Town. They've got a new album out. Check it out. Another one after the first one. Remember Emilio came on the show a couple years ago and he said that he recorded 26 songs. He was going to do the Michael Jackson type of thing and go with the best of the 26 and then save the rest of the songs for a second album. Well, the second album's out. Check it out. TowerOfPower.com. They got it rocking and rolling. We played the song a little bit earlier in the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. Barry Hearn, of course, he has a lot to do with DAZN. As far as DAZN is concerned, of course, that's the sports cable entity or the sports internet entity in which you've been paying subscriptions for and getting no fights. Well, he says he's coming back with 3 dates in August. We wish him the very best. And, of course, my man, Tutu Sabala Jr., his daddy's a class act. I think his daddy's still alive. Wasn't feeling all that well. But All-Star Boxing down in Miami, Florida, Tutu Sabala Jr. announced that he's going to go back to Telemundo. Telemundo, of course, he has the number one boxing program as far as Hispanic television is concerned. And Hispanics love their boxing, no doubt about it. Okay, he's going to come back looks like he's going to go August 14th. And the following Fridays, the 21st, the 28th, and September 4th. So he's got 4 cards in a row. Tutu Sabala is going to be on Telemundo. Check your TV guides for those dates. Because straight up, I never understood why they don't have the English second audio broadcast. I've offered to do it for them, and they've never said they just don't do it. I don't know why. Maybe you could double the audience, don't you think? Anyway, straight up, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking through the world of boxing. And maybe, of course, June 28th, 2020. I thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, don't forget this show's air Saturday and Sundays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, live on Sports Ball Line, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Arena, of course, the American Sports Network. And we have our podcast at anchor.com. That's right. Ring Talk Live Worldwide is at anchor.com. Until next time, keep your hands up, keep your chin down, most importantly,
Freaks of Speed and Motorheads. It's Kenny Sargent with Speed Freaks. Be sure to catch Crash Gladys, Statman, and yours truly every Sunday night, 7 to 9 Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. That's right, Speed Freaks on the Sports Byline Radio Network.